All right, I want to read starting here at Hebrews chapter 11 and starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Praise God. We want to start something new tonight, and I'm going to call it, for lack of other names, the life of faith. The life of faith. Now, I read you some things here because I want you to see Abraham as an example. And the Bible talks about an example. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. God knows we need examples. When I was going into the military, one of the reasons why I flew, because I saw a man flying named Chappie James, who was the first African-American general, that four-star. And I saw him fly jets and air fighters. And I saw an example, and I wanted to be that. So I saw an example. I came into my time with IBM and computers, and I saw an example. I saw this guy, last name was Goldberg. He was a star salesperson, and the way he did it and so forth, I wanted to just hang around him because he was really, really a top salesman, and I wanted to see how he did that, and I saw an example. And then I came into the ministry, and the first person I think I got a hold of was Charles Capps, and how he taught that word and walked by faith, and then Dr. Price, and then Brother Copeland, and Bishop Brazier. And I mean, there are a lot of people that I can name. I mean, I'm not naming all of them, but I saw some examples, and I saw things about them that I wanted to have a part of my life and my ministry. But the Bible takes us back to this man named Abraham, because it talks about him as a man of faith, in that he is an example. Over here in Hebrews chapter 6, it says in chapter 6 and verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience or endurance inherited the promises. Inherit the promises. So there are those that God wants us to follow. And then follow their faith is what the Bible talks about. And Paul said, follow me as I what? As I follow Christ. So it's interesting here. He wants us to have people that we can imitate that could go before us. And as you look at my life, I wanted to make it sure that you could see a life of faith. Because that's what my wife and I, we came here by faith. Well, we were doing faith things before we actually came into the ministry. But in the ministry, we had to really use our faith, because that's a time that the enemy was coming against us, trying to keep us from expanding or advancing the kingdom. And so we had to really use faith, because faith is the only thing really that can penetrate those kingdoms of darkness. So we were using our faith and so forth, and praying and so forth. And I didn't have to hang around these other people of faith when I went to their services or something like that. I didn't have to always call them and all these kind of things. All I needed to do was sit there, listen to their teachings, see what things they're doing and how they were doing them and so forth like that. And those things I gleaned from and used them in my life. And so therefore, you have the place that you're sitting in now. You have some of the schools that we have, our houses, our cars, whatever we have in our life has been by faith. In other words, we had to receive it spiritually first before it could be manifest naturally. And so the tendency is, again, to think that somehow this just popped up out of the ground. No, it took faith to get it done. I remember the first time I had to go on radio, and I went and asked, and Taft Harris was over the radio station at that time, and went and talked to him about going on one day a week on Saturday at 15 minutes broadcast on Saturday. And he said he agreed to that, and so I came back. Now, we didn't have our own place yet. We were still staying with somebody who opened their home to us. And I came back, and God said, I didn't tell you Saturdays, you're preaching faith. They need to hear it and hear it and hear it. So go on every day. So I had to go back to him and ask him, could I go on every day? Now, he agreed, but he went behind my back and called the lady we were staying with and asked the sister, said, hey, can Bill Winston really afford going on every day of the week, Monday through Friday? She said, I don't know how much money he has, but I sure know he's got some faith. So it's kind of interesting how that faith came, and we never, ever missed a payment, never were late, never anything like that. So I'm saying how faith, this is how faith worked for us, that it was a life of faith. And I had resolved to the fact that it was a life of faith for me. I didn't try to come out of it. I didn't try to make it so that maybe this time God's not going to have me use any faith. I didn't even let that consideration cross my mind, because I heard in this scripture here that the just shall live by faith. That doesn't mean every now and then. It means it is a lifestyle. It is a way you and I live. Also, I had to go on television, and that was a big step, and so forth. Now, each one of these might sound easy right now, but when I was doing it, it was my faith at work. And I didn't start out by trying to do all of it at once. If I were coming short, well, let's read that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. And let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man, what? Draw back, my soul shall have no, what? Pleasure in him. So I didn't want to draw back. I didn't want to decrease in my faith. I want to keep my faith increasing, keep it working, and so forth. So we used it to get to schools, to use it to start the businesses. We used it to acquire airplanes. We use it to whatever it is, and it's faith. And I saw that he said over there that our faith, it's according to our faith, be it unto us. So I just want to work it. I want to keep it working and keep it so that this faith not only works for me, but I can be used to work my faith for somebody else as well. All right? And so I'm saying that in ministry or in business or wherever you go, that faith is not an option. Faith is something that God requires of us. Now, as we do this, I want to cover some things that I feel that are relevant to us getting started in this topic. One is that Jesus was the example. Abraham is an example, but Jesus is the example. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, now realize you don't start out with faith at the top. And you have to remind folk of that, because we get zealous for God and we get out there on water that we can't walk on yet. God understands that. And he said, you know, with Peter, he said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And he understood the zealousness that Peter had. And God loves that. He likes us to be excited about what we're doing. But understand, we go from faith to faith. We have to build our faith, build our faith, build our faith, and so forth. But the idea is, don't stop using your faith. All right, look what it says here in verse 35. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, it took him even as he was in the ship, and that was also with him, other little ships. And there was also a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so what? Fearful or timid? How is it that you have, what? No faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, let's stop and just try to understand that. What manner of man is this? Now, Jesus operated in the earth as a man, not as God, but as a man anointed. And you know that because when he got up, when he was raised up out of the water, after John the Baptist had baptized him, he was raised up, and the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. So he was a man that had to be anointed. That you didn't see all these miracles before he got anointed. Now understand, he was fully God, but he took his Godhead ability, set it aside, and operated as a man anointed by God. What was he doing? Setting an example for you. He was letting you know that he had come down to this level of a man, and now getting anointed as a man, is baptized as a man, everything is a man. Why? So that he could execute judgment in the earth. Because for God to do things in the earth, he has to come through a man. See, he can't do it as God. And that's why the devil tried him one time. That Jesus, he said, I know who you are. And I'm going to just give you a translation. You're God. That's who you are. And you can't touch me. And he knew that. But Jesus said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he had to come out. Why? Because Jesus was God with his Godhead ability set aside and became just like you. Anointed by God. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So here, what manner of man is this? Now, he said that even the wind and the sea obey him. Now, did the wind and the sea really obey him? No. What did it obey? It obeyed his faith. It obeyed his faith. See, you have first word, faith, things. Okay? So, it obeyed his faith. He had to produce faith with words. And once he did that, he had enough faith to move a mountain. He had enough faith to stop a storm. All right, let's look at that. Leave something right there. I'm coming back. Let's look at Hebrews. And Hebrews again, chapter 4. Hebrews again, chapter 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. And you're there, say, praise the Lord. Let us therefore fear. That fear there translates believe. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Question, where was Jesus on the boat? He was asleep. He was resting. Faith is always a rest. Got it? And look what he said. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It wasn't mixed with faith. Now, you've got to mix it with faith. You've got to mix the word with faith. You just can't take the word like it is. You've got to take it and mix it. You've got to mix it. Now, how do you think you mix it? All right? What is the mixer? Your tongue is the mixer. Your tongue, you mix the word with faith. See, the words, the faith got to be produced, but you have to mix it first. You eat food, right? The food comes into your mouth, right? What do you do with it? Chew it. Do you swallow it whole? No. Okay. You choke yourself. You chew it. Why? Because you got to get it into a form that it can be digested in your system. Am I right about it? But once it's got that form, now it is broken down by the amino acids and everything, and it goes out to different parts of your body, and it produces something we call strength. Got it? So the word comes in, produces faith that produces strength to move that mountain. Got it? All right? So it's got to be mixed. And what happened with the reason why they're bringing that to you is because the people over in the book of Numbers that they're talking about refused to mix it. And let's go over there. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. Hallelujah. All right. In Numbers chapter 13. Here's what it said. Now they sent out 12 spies. And he came back from spying out the land of Canaan back into the wilderness. And they began to give their reports. So, as they begin to give their reports, they said in verse 26, and they went and came into Moses and Aaron to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, underline word, and unto all the congregation they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. But this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be what? Strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, whoa, now hold on. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are, come on, well able to overcome it. Two reports, seeing the same thing, having the same experience, but two reports. One of them, again, was a report where people who were speaking negative, and then the other reports are the people who were speaking positive. Now, this is one of the things that you and I have to remember when we are operating in faith. When we are operating in faith, you must change your thinking attitude from negative to positive. When you are operating in faith, you must change your thinking attitude from negative to positive. Now, this is mandatory. This is not an option if you're going to walk by faith. And the one thing people tell me about a broadcast, they said, my goodness, your broadcast is really uplifting. What they hear is positive. God is positive. He is not negative. You're in a world that is negative. The streams are negative. The news is negative. It's negative. The rap is negative. I mean, it's negative. I'm saying that God is positive. And so you're going to have to do that. So when we're walking by faith, here are the two reports that came. And so now, next thing you know, they were affected by what they heard. Look what it says here, over here in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we." Now, these are the leaders that are saying this. So the people, except they hear the leaders, how can they know? Lord have mercy. Can I turn you to another place? Put something right there. I don't know where, how many places I got you putting something. But just go with me over to Romans, please, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now look at Romans chapter 10. Come on with me. Are you there? In Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth and in thy heart. That is the what? Word of what? Faith. This is the word that builds faith that we preach. Now this, faith is both ways. Faith could be negative or faith could be positive. Now when I say faith could be negative, that's really an oxymoron. You can't really have faith that's negative. What I'm saying is you can have faith in something that's negative, or you can have faith in something that's positive. And what they did is the crowd, the congregation, had faith in something that's negative. The negative piece was that we can't take it. Well, what they had done is not mixed it. But if you had taken what Joshua and Caleb said, that we are well able, and put that in your mouth and let it get in your heart and mix it, it will bring the strength that you need to go in and possess the land. Are you following what I'm saying? Remember, God's word comes with virtue. And when I say that, I mean this. I mean, it comes with its own power. You don't need to get power from outside to do anything with God's word. It comes with power. His word is with power. And when you confess it, power is built up inside of you. It calls it, in the Greek, it calls it a dynamo. It begins to build up inside of you. And that's why when people get that word built up and they come out and release that word, you can feel the power in it. Say, man, I feel power coming out of this guy. Okay, now, look what it says here in Romans chapter 10 again. He says this, verse 11, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Not be ashamed, not be disgraced, not be confounded, or not be dishonored. Whoever believes on him will not be disgraced." Why? Because God's word will work. I don't care how much opposition is coming against you. It makes no difference. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever makes a demand on this word by faith shall get the results. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed?" Well, then how can they believe on him whom they've not heard? Well, how then can they hear, come on, without a preacher? Watch this. "And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent." Now, notice what had happened. 12 spies. What did they do? They went out to the promised land, and the promised land, to Canaan. Spied it out for how long? Anybody remember? 40 days. They spied it out for 40 days. Then they come back. Now they come back and give the report of spying it out. And they said, 10 of them, "We can't take it. Giants, building so tall, walls tall, can't even get around it," and so forth. And we're in our own sight anyway as what? Grasshoppers. And so are we what? In their sight. Now notice, the people hadn't seen it. Only the preachers were given that vision. See, only the leaders had the opportunity to see that. That God made it that way. How can they hear without a what? Preacher. How can he preach except he be what? Sent. See, he had to be sent. He's got to get something that God is going to give him, and then he's got to take it back and give it to you. But he's going to have to preach it to you by faith. You're going to have to understand that what God is calling you to do is not something that the mind has traditionally been programmed to receive. You're going to have to receive it by what? Faith. You're going to have to take God's word for what he said, even though you have no evidence in the natural to prove what he said is true. Now that is a faith fight. And the enemy doesn't want you to believe God. He wants you to believe your body. He wants you to believe your finances. He wants you to believe the news media. He wants you to believe what's happening with your kids. He wants you. But if you go in here, everything that's happening with you, there is a promise to overcome it. And the way that you overcome is by faith. Now, the first step is stay positive. God is positive. Now, that first one could be a challenge for some folk, because people are negative, you know, usually for no reason. They just get up negative and go to bed negative. Say amen to that. So I'm saying the word of faith, so you get it. So who you can get it from? You can get it from the preacher, but you can get it from the Holy Ghost. And here we're in Sister Beverly's home, and we're trying to get out. It was 8 months now. We've been in it. We've been trying to save money and get our home, and it looks like every time we save money, boom, the car break down. Boom, something else had happened. Take $500 here, $200. Man, what's happening? Well, pretty soon, the discernment that I had at that time, I knew that this was an attack. This was something trying to prevent me to get to the other side. And so what happened was, I went, I fasted about 3 days, and I went before God. I said, Lord, what's up here? Tell me how to get out of this. Now the Holy Ghost is your counselor. Yes, sir. And whenever you're in trouble, God comes to you. Yes, sir. I said it, it's a law. Whenever, because you got a covenant with him. And so what happened? I asked him. He said this, slow down. That's what he told me. He said, listen for God. Then he said, listen to God. And then he said, act. Just like that. Slow down first. Slow down. Your anxiety is blocking my voice. Now listen for God. In other words, there's a lot of voices out here, but you listen for God. I know about that, because flying airplanes, especially in flying fighters, you're in the midst of, especially the theater in war zone, and there's a lot of voices coming over that headset. But one time you'll hear your voice, and right in the middle of that, they'll call you, Randall 5-2, so forth, so on. You hear your call sign in the midst of that, giving you instructions, and you gotta listen for your call sign. Now, listen to God. In other words, set your heart that you're going to believe everything he just said. And don't try to look at your circumstances to tell whether you're going to believe what he said. But when he says it, that's what you do. Then it says, act on it. Praise God. The moment you hear it, let it go. And I did it. He said to me, declare. How many days to get out of here? I've forgotten how he put it. Declare something. Declare what you want, or how many days you get out of here, something like that. So I said, we'll be out of here in 7 days. Now, I had to decree that thing. Now I'm talking about faith, because they had to decree it. I got to decree it when I come in here with you. I got to say what God said, and it's up to you to believe it. I've said what God said before, and I've seen people get up and walk out. Why? It is so against how they've been programmed. See? And what they don't do is trust the prophet. And the reason why they don't trust the prophet is because they haven't denied themselves. Remember, selfishness was the first manifestation of the fall. Self-defense, self-centered, it always defending yourself. Adam, why did you do this? The woman you gave me, that's who did it. See, it's self-defense. It's you don't want to put yourself in a place of looking bad. I was out there on the court the other day playing tennis. Well, it was another day. It was yesterday, praise God. And next thing I know, I'm hitting. Well, the guy came out. He's hitting good, you know, and so forth. And he had me down 5-2. Okay, the game ends at 6. And he had me down 5-2. He said, what score? I said, the score is you got 5 and I've got 2. Now, I understand we have people playing on that side that are real good, playing on that side that are real good and so forth. And normally, I wouldn't say it that loud. Normally, I'd keep that down just a little bit. Now, if I had 5 and he had 2, 5, I got 5, you got 2, dog. And I'm just letting you know, it's self. You better get self out of the way, because you can't follow him if you don't deny yourself. See, and that's where many people lose faith right there. Because faith, it says, self says, I always want to look good. I cannot put myself in a place that this may not work, because I won't look good. See, I got to protect my image. I got to protect myself. You know, I'm all that. I got to be, you know, something. I'm cool. I you know, they love me. I got to, but not faith. Faith takes 4 crazy friends, and it takes a person who can't walk up on the rooftop, tears it open, and drops him down in there while Jesus is preaching. That's faith. And when you're too cool, faith will never work for you, because it's not used to working for selfishness. It won't work for it, because faith worketh by love. And if I got enough time, I will show you that. You got to come out of that self. How cute I'm going to look. And so forth. You, whatever he says to you, you got to do it. And guaranteed, he going to lead you out of self. Try him. He going to take you out of self. Because self will keep you from faith. Come on. You and I ain't getting a lot of applause on that, but I know I'm right. Say amen to this. Telling you, it's all right to be cool, but you can't be so cool with faith. Because faith, for the most part, initially looked like nothing's happening. I told my wife, I said, baby, God said, I said, we're going to be out here in 7 days. Now, I didn't say that. God told me to declare how many days it's going to take. I could have said 3 days, but I didn't have 3-day faith. I had 7-day faith. Boy, I'm preaching too hard here now. All right, the next thing, besides thinking positive, think in terms of miracles. If you think outside of that, you're not thinking faith, because you got to think in terms of the supernatural. God is a supernatural God, and he does the impossible. Everything Satan stole from you, God will restore to you. Say amen to this. But let's just look at this first, because I want you to see this. Look at Numbers chapter 14, please. Are y'all with me? Boy, that was some preaching there I just did. I hope you got that. Let me tell you, time went by. First day went by. Then the second day, we thought we'd go out and look at some property. Next thing we know, we went out and looked at some property and looked at this kind of a luxury apartment building. And I said, you know, I passed by that. My son was real young then. He stood up on the back seat talking about, we're going to live right there. I want to say, sit down, boy, and just shut up. Because that was the last place I thought we were going to. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying I'm trying to accommodate my feelings with my faith. And so I'm saying that, hey, God was taking me into a place and he was going to show us some things and show us how faith works and so forth like that. So we ended up, true enough, getting in there in 7 days. Now, notice what happened. I had to decree it. See, I had to decree it because God needs your authorization. And look what it says here in verse 26 of Numbers 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? And I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, come on, so will I do. Now notice what happened. They spoke something. Here's what they said. They said in Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, and they brought up an evil report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and come the giants, and we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. For all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had what? Died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had what? Died in its wilderness. Now, notice what he's saying here. Look at verse 28 again. Chapter 14, verse 28. Saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, keep going, so will I do. Now, this is interesting about this. The spirit realm takes every word that you utter as a command or a mandate. The spirit world. Now, let's validate that. Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, please. Matthew, chapter 12. Now, the reason why you got to think positive, because the Bible says in Proverbs 30, if you have a wrong thought, put your hand over your mouth. So you've got to think positive because you're about to speak what you think. And the enemy tries to persuade your thoughts. Okay? He tries to make you think something that is to his advantage. Because if you think on it long enough, it will come out of your mouth. And the spirit world takes every word you utter from man as a command or a mandate. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word which man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of what? Judgment. For by thy what? Words thou shalt be what? Justified. And by thy what? Words thou shalt be condemned. Notice one is justified, meaning made free, and the other one is condemned. By your words, you're either going to be made free or put in bondage. By your words. By your words. Now, notice the storm tried to stop Jesus. But what did he do? He spoke words. Come on over here. Matthew chapter 4 again. In Matthew chapter 4, when they woke him up, verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And what happened? And there was a great what? There was a great calm. The spirit world does not discriminate between whether you're joking or whether you're serious. Got it? Here's a guy, by name, his name, you'll know it, but he said this. He was at a meeting, and somebody was preaching, and now it was his time to get up to preach, and if you know some of those meetings, one preacher preaches right after the other. And he said, this preacher got up to preach, he said, who preaches after me? And the moderator said, Brother Charles preaches after you. He said, well, I think I'll take his time too. He didn't think anything about it. Start preaching. Looked at his watch, had plenty of time, kept preaching. Looked at it, plenty of time, kept preaching. Looked at his watch. He said, oh my goodness, my watch has stopped. He said, how long, said the moderator, have I been up here preaching? They said, you've not only preached your time, but you've preached Charles's time too. Notice what happened. His words worked in this environment to make it come to pass. And the way it made it come to pass is to stop his watch. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Luke chapter 1, please. We're talking about the life of faith. Luke chapter 1. Now, this is about a man named Zacharias. Now, Zacharias was getting old, and his wife was too, and they had no kids. Verse 11. Zacharias was a priest, and he'd gone into this place to do the sacrament, into the temple. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name what? John. Underline John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Let me read that again. Shall not drink wine or strong drink. Okay, all right. All right, look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Come on now, I don't want to bring anybody under conviction, but I just want to call your attention. Look at verse 16. But many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power, so forth. Look at verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel that announces things and brings the word from heaven. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings, good news. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou what? Believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Let me ask you, why do you think Zacharias' mouth had to be shut? If your words are not that important, and his words were not that important, his mouth would not have to be shut. He didn't shut his mind. He shut his words. Look at verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not what? Speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained what? Speechless. That had to be embarrassing. Man, I went in there talking, and I came back out and can't talk. All right. Now the baby was born. Verse 59. Coming down. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise a child, and they called him Zacharias. after the name of his father, Zach Jr. He was Zach Jr. And his mother answered and said, see, we quick to name him Junior. So, hey, Junior, you know, I want my name, you pass by. What may not be your name? Now, I'm not talking about you if your name is Junior. Now, you don't have to change your name, but my point to you is. All right, look what happened here. He says, verse 60. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called what? John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. Why are you naming him John? There is nobody in the family named John. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing pad or table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. I don't blame him for praising God. I praise God too. If my mouth was set up for 9 months, I'd be like, oh, Shanda, praise you, Jesus. I said something to you. As the spirit realm takes every word that you say as a command or a mandate. And that's because you have the authority in this earth to say things. Jesus got your saying back. Adam lost it. Now, many people don't understand, but the devil understands this kind of stuff because he uses things like black magic, witchcraft. Warlocks are perched early in the morning, releasing spells and hexes and so forth like that. And a lot of times people don't understand that there's a real war going out here. Now, I'm only saying that. Let's go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 8. Are you all getting some out of this? So the first thing you have to have is a positive what? Attitude. You're going to have to be positive. You're going to have to change your attitude from negative to positive. The next thing you're going to have to do is think in terms of what? Miracles. You have to think in terms of the impossible. You're going to have to think in terms of the impossible. I don't care what other folk have done. You're not basing this based on what other folk have done. You're basing this based on what God said. And if he said it so, it is so. Okay? Notice this man, verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsy and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which beforetime in the city, same city, used what? Sorcery, and did what? Bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom all the people gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him that had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard the Samaritans, so forth and so on, so on, so on. I'm just letting you know that he was working what he called miracles. And he was doing it with sorcery. Well, you know it's possible because back over in the days of Moses, you know, he went down to the Pharaoh's court. And the first thing Pharaoh's ministers or sorcerers did is they work some sorcery and turn sticks into snakes and so forth and so on. Now, so what am I saying to you? Come on back to Numbers chapter 22, because I want to convince you of something. Numbers chapter 22. Have you got it? This is when Balak sent a message to a man named Balaam to come. And verse 5, here's what he said. And he sent messages before Balaam to the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and what? Curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail." So the enemy tries to use curses and things like that so that he can stop the advancement of the kingdom in people's lives. Look what it says in Numbers 23 and verse 23. "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God hath God wrought." And what am I telling you? That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But I'm letting you know that the enemy comes out early in the morning, and he comes up and tries to send out curses for people who aren't taught the Word of God, people who do not know their covenant of the Word of God. Turn over to the 1 Timothy chapter 2, please, while you're there. Last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just want to show you this. Now, you and I are supposed to cast down what? Yeah, okay, negative thought, okay. Okay. Look what it says in 1 Timothy, please. Let me know when you get there. Come on, let me know when you get there. All right, I came from a place and they have a law that you cannot spank your children. Now, that is a law that's passed. All right, this is overseas, but I'm letting you know how the enemy is trying to gain ground now. Because you can read it sometimes that when people back off the Word of God, now we have no defense because you have no faith, and faith becomes a shield. Faith becomes the way that you advance the gospel and so forth. So he's trying to annihilate the Word of God. Look at this. Now, I'm going to read this now. Wait a minute. Look at me. Say, "We love you, Pastor."
"We love you, Pastor."
All right. Let's read. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. "I exalt therefore that, first of all," underline "first of all," "supplications, prayers," come on, "intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for some men." All men. "For what? Kings, and for all that are" where? "In authority. That we may lead a" what? "Quiet" and what? "Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now, this is God's plan, that all people who are in authority, what? We need the what? Pray for them. Why? Because we have the authority. Unsaved folk don't have that authority. We have the authority. We are the church. The world is not running this globe. We are running this. We have the authority. The storm might have come against Jesus, but Jesus could still that storm. And by the way, when he got to the other side, what was doing? A man filled with demons. That enemy had been channeling this power through to cause a storm to come, and that storm to try to sink that boat. Now understand that this is these are things, even when Jesus came to them walking on the water, remember that? And he came at night. It was dark. Are you following what I'm saying? That I didn't know it, but the thinking that if a sailor ever saw a ghost walking on water, it meant that he was about to die. That's the thinking. Well, anyway, so here is a man being used by the enemy, channeling power and causing storms. Now, you know the devil can cause storms because you got it back over here in Job, how he caused a storm. Come on now. And you got it over here in Acts chapter 27, how he caused a storm. I'm just saying the devil can cause storm, but you and I can still the storm. Say amen to that. And it's according to our faith. Now, we're doing that not only to save our lives, but to save a bunch of other people's lives. Say amen to that. So we're here to bring heaven to this earth. We're here to make sure that Satan doesn't take over this world, terrorize this world, and make people afraid to even get up in the morning. Now, if we don't pray for people in authority, their minds will be affected by these same demonic spirits and these curses and hexes, and they'll, next thing you know, they'll be making laws that are against God. And I'm telling you, we got to pray for people in authority. So I said this, that we don't have the option of criticizing whoever's in authority. Tells you what to do about it. Pray. Come on, pray. Now, I know that's a change for some folks, because you're not even praying for your own family. You're not even getting up in the morning. I mean, curses being sent out and so forth. Kids acting crazy. Well, boy, I'm going to spank you again. You done beat him several times. Now you need to pray for the boy. You need to get the devil off of his mind, because the enemy's trying to harass you through him. You follow what I'm saying? Pray for the man, because if you don't, they're going to make decisions that tells you you can't spank your kids. And it's going to be a law. Now what are you going to do? There is a place that the church cannot back up anymore. We're going to have to take the shield of faith and go forward. Man, you decree things. And when you decree them by faith, you're not looking for a feeling. You're looking to see, did you say it? And once you say it, back off. You know you just did it, and thank God for it, and watch Satan's work cease. Folks, it's time for the church to step out of the closet and try not to be embarrassed, try not to be laughed at, and so forth. No. If you get the Holy Ghost rise up in you and say, speak in tongues right now. I'm telling you, we gonna get crazy before it's over with. I'm talking about a fool for Christ. I'm talking about it's time for the church to let faith take over now. We have been silent too long. And that's why this thing keeps pushing us back. And I saw over there, I said, wow, they got a law. They said, it is a law on the books. I said, oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm not going to go into it, because it's international tonight. But I'm just saying, it came against the pastor and them. You see? But they couldn't hold them. And I'm going to teach you that on Sunday. They so glad to get my messages over there. They said they heard that message on vengeance war, and that woke something up inside of them. I'm telling you, because we haven't preached some things, we've been victims. But now we're about to preach it. I said we about to rocky shatta.
That's right.
The life of faith.
Amen.
The just shall live how?
By faith.
By faith, folks. By faith. Remember, our minds have been programmed by the system of the world. That even when we try to come back to the Word, it tries to resist us. But I'm telling you the secret. Deny yourself. Say, hey, I count not my own life. He's going to take care of me.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to take care of His business in this life. You do that, and you watch faith will flow like a flood. Now, the next time, I want to go into faith worketh by love. I said, that's, boy, that thing, I'm telling you now, this is powerful stuff that I'm giving you right now. But I'm giving you the combination of things of how you can live effectively by faith. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise God for it.